Okay, I think you might have introduced me, Deb. I was talking to Danielle and not paying attention. Hopefully you introduced me. Because I have taken the mic. Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah. So, hey, everyone. Yeah, I have heard a little bit about Be the Love, and I heard, you know, that it's wonderful. I look forward to hearing a little more about it. So we are here now for Holy Spirit Guides, and what we're doing is looking at the messages that were given to Laurent and me in December of 2007. And during this period of time, Laurent was in Paris and I was in North Carolina. But these last two messages that we're going to look at tonight, these were the last two during that first separation period. He had to go back to Paris every now and then because of visa. He couldn't stay in the United States. So during our relationship, we had a few separation periods where he had to go back, and this was one of them. But these two messages that we're going to look at tonight are the last two messages from the first separation period, starting with the next message that will come. He was then back in North Carolina. He came back to North Carolina for Christmas in December of 2007 and stayed for till sometime in the spring, I think, until March. Danielle, can you go let Jasmine know that I'm busy? I hear Jasmine upstairs calling me. But so what I would like to do before we start looking at these messages is go ahead and say a prayer. So if y'all would join me in the prayer, I would appreciate. Holy Spirit, I am grateful for silence. And when I say I'm grateful for silence, I'm not referring to form at all. So it has nothing to do with whether there is silence in form or noise in form. I am grateful for the silence that is always present, even in the noisiest of situations. The silence that is present when there is what seems to be external noise that the ears hear. The silence that is present when there seems to be internal noise that the mind is caught up in. Spirit, I feel that I want to be grateful for silence so that my attention can go back to that silence and remain resting there regardless of what else may be happening. It reminds me right now, Spirit, of being in the depth of the ocean even while there is a hurricane on the surface. I heard someone say this morning that she heard me say that I wanted to be at peace even in a war zone. That is my prayer, Spirit. Let me know the silence more than I do. And thank you for the bits of silence that I already know. Amen. All right. Someone is saying that my neighbor turned off his lawnmower just after Regina said she was grateful for the silence. Ha ha. All right. Let me give you all a link to the first message that we're going to look at tonight. I think we're going to have a chance for two. We'll see. You know, you never know anything for sure, but I think we'll have a chance for two messages. As I mentioned, the final two messages from the first period of visa-required separation in my relationship with Laurent. The name of this message is, You Give the Gift That You Asked Me to Give. And I haven't read this message in advance, but if I, just by the title, I think it's possible that this is a message that Dove has quoted since, but I could be wrong. I don't know that for sure. But why don't we go into the message and find out what it is? Okay, so I've given you all a link. if you want to read along. Danielle, do you want to read along? There's a book. Right here, this one. Okay. All right. So it starts off with a question. And the question is, Holy Spirit, I am very, very grateful for everything you give to us, for how our mind is shifting, and for how we are learning to see. What gift have you got for us this morning? All right, I'm going to post the link one more time. I'm not certain if Fran and Kathy came in before or after the link, but just in case, since we haven't started, there's the link again. All right, here we go. Your gratitude is a blessing. Be willing to rest in that. At times, you may see a thought in your mind that asks you not to rest in joy, in peace, in contentment, and in gratitude. It is happy for brief stops within these states of your mind. Hold on one second. Let's see if I can probably turn off the ring. Okay. It is happy for brief stops within these states of your mind, but it wants quickly to reinstate guilt and move on to a belief that you must work, 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 fix, fix, fix. And I remember this thought, and I would say I still see echoes of it now. I still see echoes of it now. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. So it's good that we're talking about this thought. I don't feel the stress of this thought like I once did. But I do still see echoes of this thought. And I wouldn't be surprised if all of us see it at some time. To be honest, I think some people are very panicked by it. I don't know that I was ever very panicked by it. I felt some stress. I never felt extreme stress, but I think it's possible that Laurent felt extreme stress. I have another friend that up until recently I know felt extreme stress. Just recently I saw him break through from this thought. But it's this idea that, you know, it's this idea that there is really something very wrong with you. That's the ultimate idea, that there's something very wrong with you. And, you know, if you start to feel a little relaxed, if you start to feel a little bit of peace, a little bit of joy, what this thought does is it comes in and tells you that your state of being relaxed, your state of being peaceful, your state of being joy is really equivalent to not doing the work that you should be doing in order to wake up, right? In other words, somehow you're cheating. You're taking a break, and you shouldn't take a break, right? So it's kind of funny because it's the ego using, you know, in a way, Holy Spirit thoughts, but completely twisting them. You know, so for example, if Holy Spirit, you know, has taught you to say a mantra, a specific mantra, and you've been saying this mantra, and thank you, Jasmine. Are you mad at me?
No.
Then why are you standing with your hands crossed? I start at 5.
Well, go tell her that. She said she's going to call back.
Okay.
She called twice.
If she calls back, let her know that I stop at 6, our time.
She's arguing with me. She's like, but doesn't she?
Yeah, no, she's just mistaken because she lives in Pacific time and now she's on the East Coast and her time mind is all screwed up.
Yeah, she says, doesn't she teach us 7 to 8? And I was like, no. No, I'm pretty sure she doesn't.
7 to 8 Eastern time.
Yeah, and she's like, well, she does that. She goes, give me a minute. And so she pauses for like 20 minutes. I'm like, she's teaching. She started, I don't know how long ago, but we just got back and for a walk, and I'm pretty sure she probably started only a few minutes ago. She goes, no, but she should be done now, right? I'm like, no.
Apparently, she's very excited to tell me all about Be the Love.
She's stuck in the airport.
So oh, she's stuck in the airport. She's calling me out of boredom. Well, I'm sure she's also very excited to tell me about Be the Love. But I am teaching. So would you like to kiss me on the cheek before you run away, or do you just want to run away? She just ran away. Oh, yay, I got a kiss.
Woo-hoo! My life has no privacy. Leave me alone. Gah, good goo.
Okay, thank you.
I'm leaving.
All right.
Quiet.
Be quiet. How do I be quiet?
And, don't say
and teach at the same. I promise I won't talk about you.
Uh-huh.
All right, so let's go. I think I'm going to just kind of start over, if you guys don't mind, with the paragraph. But I think you got the idea of what I was talking about that thought in the mind that if you're beginning to experience some joy, some peace, some happiness, that's actually, really what the thought is telling you is that's denial. It's a very sneaky thought. It tries to keep you from ever relaxing by telling you if you... Oh, my goodness, the phone does ring a lot. She was right. By telling you that if you do... this is somebody different. I think everybody wants to tell me about Be the Love. By telling you that if you do relax, that you're not doing your work. So, anyway, let's look at the message again, all right? Your gratitude is a blessing. Be willing to rest in that. Your gratitude is a blessing. Be willing to rest in that. At times, you may see a thought in your mind that asks you not to rest in joy, in peace, in contentment, and in gratitude. It is happy for brief stops within these states of your mind, but it wants quickly to reinstate guilt and move on to a belief that you must work, 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 fix, fix, fix. Be alert to the thoughts that want to reinstate guilt. Reinstate the belief that you are not good enough and that you must somehow be fixed. Remember the truth of who you are, the truth of the flow that is the totality of you, and be willing to rest within the flow in a state of contentment, a state of joy, a state of peace, and a state of gratitude. Now, I have known people, over the years that the idea of resting, in a state of contentment, a state of joy, a state of peace, or a state of gratitude, it actually scared them. And it scared them for exactly what Holy Spirit is talking about here. It scared them because they thought that if they stopped to rest in contentment or peace or joy or gratitude, that again, they were somehow caught up in denial. They associated what I'm going to call positive emotions with denial. They associated all positive emotions with denial. And that, of course, was the voice of guilt, the voice of guilt speaking. So I guess if there's anyone that's hearing this that really is afraid of resting in contentment, resting in joy, resting in peace, or resting in gratitude, because you just think you aren't, notice it. Do you really just think you aren't good enough yet to do that? Do you really think that you have not fixed yourself enough to do that? That for some reason you do not deserve that? If you have these thoughts in your mind, these are the exact thoughts that Holy Spirit is pointing out in this message as false thoughts. These are false thoughts. The idea that you do not deserve to be happy, or you do not deserve to be at peace, or you do not deserve to rest, that you haven't fixed yourself enough for that yet, right? Holy Spirit is saying these are false thoughts. So when they come up and you feel them tightening in your chest or tightening in your butt or wherever you feel the tightening, go ahead and observe that tightening that's happening in you, And know that the reason the tightening is happening is simply because you do believe these thoughts. You do believe that you have not fixed yourself enough yet. You aren't deserving enough yet. You aren't ready enough or worthy enough to experience contentment, joy, peace, or gratitude. And observe how much you believe that. And just watch it. Right? That's important, to just watch it. And then remember, somewhere inside your mind, remember that Holy Spirit said, be willing to rest within the flow in a state of contentment, a state of joy, a state of peace, and a state of gratitude. You know, obviously one of the most important things we need to do on this path is learn the difference between Holy Spirit's voice and ego's voice in our own mind. And again, people tell me, you know, I don't hear Holy Spirit. Well, pardon me. As I say, that's a bunch of bull crap. If you can hear me right now, you are hearing Holy Spirit. And I say that without any ego. I mean, that's just truth. That's just the truth. If you can hear me right now, you're hearing Holy Spirit. And if you can remember, you know, tomorrow or the next day or next week, something that I said while I was teaching, that remembrance is also hearing Holy Spirit. So one of the most important things that we do on this path is we learn the difference between ego and Holy Spirit in our own mind. And you know, it is always, always the voice of ego that is telling you that you're not good enough, that you're not ready, that you don't deserve, that you're not worthy, you haven't worked hard enough, right? That's always ego. You will never find Holy Spirit saying that. You know, I watched 4 hours of Muji today. And by the way, Muji is just another voice of Holy Spirit. The same. So I watched 4 hours of Muji today. And, you know, you could say that the people that I saw go to Muji today were at different places on the spiritual path. You know, some seemed a little closer to listening to only one voice. And some seemed very, very far. Unless you call listening to only one voice listening to pretty much ego all the time. Some seem very, very far. But you know what I noticed in Muji was he didn't tell any of those people, you are not ready. He didn't say that to anyone. Not anyone. You know, the voice that tells you you are not ready, you are not good enough, you have to do something else first, that is ego. You will never hear Holy Spirit say that. So, you know, if you find that thought coming up in your own mind, just remember that Holy Spirit says, you are ready. You are good enough. You can embrace this now, right? And then just breathe, or whatever you need to do to put aside the thoughts of ego. Embrace the thoughts of Holy Spirit, whether they come to you as a memory of something I said, or something Muji said, or something you read in the Course. It's irrelevant how the thoughts of Holy Spirit come to you. Know the difference between the thoughts of Holy Spirit, the thoughts of ego. It's the only two types of thoughts there are. Know the difference. Don't listen to ego. Put aside ego. That's the voice of falsehood. Listen to and trust Holy Spirit. It is literally as simple as that. You know, one of the greatest gifts, I've received a lot of great gifts from Holy Spirit, but some of the gifts seem to have, you know, been like giant steps. Like, oh my God, that's a giant step. Everything has changed now that I get that. And one of the greatest gifts that Holy Spirit gave me was teaching me so that I understood that everything that I perceive can be classified, you know, for the purposes of healing, can be classified as ego, either ego or Holy Spirit. And that if I would just not listen to ego, not see ego as meaningful, to see that as meaningless, and fully embrace everything that Holy Spirit says, you know, that I would move quickly along this path. So what that means, you know, we're talking about everything, you know, so what that means is when I'm reading a book, you know, some of what I read in that book may be Holy Spirit and I want to embrace that. But if I run across something in the book that I recognize as ego, I just disregard that. Something that you might say to me, right? You might call me on the phone like all these other people seem to be doing tonight. You might call me on the phone. And you might say one sentence to me that sounds like Holy Spirit to me, and I embrace that. And the next sentence you say to me may sound like ego. I just disregard that. In my own mind, I may have a thought that seems very much like Holy Spirit. I embrace that. I may then see another thought that I can identify as ego. I just disregard that. The whole process is nothing but knowing the difference between what to embrace and what to disregard, right? And it doesn't matter what the apparent source is, whether it's my mind, your mouth, some teacher's mouth, a book, it's all the same. It's all either Holy Spirit or ego, and all I'm doing is picking what I will embrace and what I will simply disregard. So in this particular message again, you know, Holy Spirit is zooming in on a specific thought that many of us have fallen for, and that is the thought that you aren't good enough, you haven't done enough, you haven't worked hard enough, you haven't healed enough, right? You haven't healed enough of these false thoughts for you to enjoy, you know, contentment, joy, peace, or gratitude, right? And Spirit is saying, be willing to rest within the flow of the state of contentment, joy, peace, or gratitude. And it looks like Laurent has entered the room, and he's asking, what message is it? A few people have entered the room as well, so I will paste the link again, if I can remember how. I remember how. For a second I forgot, but then it came back. And the name of the message is, you give the gift that you asked me to give. That's the name of the message. All right, so I'm going to move on to the third paragraph in the answer. Here we go. As you rest within these states, remain gently and happily aware of the mind. Now, this is interesting. Before I even go any further, you know, ego was telling us you cannot be happy because you have not healed enough yet. You haven't worked enough yet. You have to fix, work, right? Spirit has asked us to be willing to rest within the flow of the state of contentment, joy, peace, or gratitude. Or be willing to rest within that flow, that of those more restful feelings, those more restful states of mind. But Spirit is also not recommending that we think we're done, so to speak, you know, that we stop watching the mind. Spirit is also asking us to continue to watch the mind. The difference is that ego is saying, you know, you got to work, because you're never going to be good enough. You got to work really hard. You got to be stressed about this. And Spirit's saying, relax, rest, be happy, be peaceful, and gently watch the mind, right? It's kind of funny. I think this is why people get confused between ego and Holy Spirit, because what they're saying does have a similarity about it, right? What they're saying does have a similarity about it, but there's a completely different tone. One is telling you everything's okay. You're perfect as you are. Now let's just keep watching the mind. And the other one is saying, you're never going to be good enough. You got to work harder than anyone else. You're never going to be good enough. You can't give up, you know. There's a difference in their tone. A difference in the underlying message that they are sending you. So, Spirit says, as you rest within these states, remain gently and happily aware of the mind. You can watch the mind and be at peace too, because you can watch the mind as you rest accept, and trust that all is well. So that's the underlying message from Spirit. All is well right now. And the underlying message from Ego, you aren't good enough right now. You got to work harder. You know, maybe someday you'll be good enough, but you aren't good enough right now. Spirit says, as you rest within these states of mind, remain gently and happily aware of the mind. You can watch the mind and be at peace too, because you can watch the mind as you rest, accept, and trust that all is well. When a true upset comes upon you, and by that I mean something that seems to truly upset you, do not believe the thought that tells you that you have failed because you have lost your peace. In accepting your feelings of upset, your peace is anchored within. Do not deny how you feel, and you are at peace. Do not try to change what is by resisting it, and peace is the consistent anchor within your mind. So it seems like ego is nothing but a bundle of tricks. And so as Spirit is addressing one trick, Spirit is also seeing that as he gets us to agree that we can rest in peace, you know, rest in gratitude, rest in contentment, that then when something does seem to upset us, the next ego trick is you failed. You failed, right? You were there in peace, you were there in contentment, you were there in gratitude, and now, you know, you failed. Again, I told you I watched 4 hours of Muji today. This was basically one of the thoughts that someone brought to Muji. You know, he sat down in front of Muji, and by the way, this was not the live satsang. This was a recorded satsang that I was watching at this point. He came and he sat in front of Muji, and he said, you know, 2 days ago, you know, here in satsang, you know, I just felt so wonderful. I felt expanse, you know, peace, joy, love. I felt so wonderful. He says, and then yesterday I got up, you know, my mind was filled with hate. I'm angry, I hate, I'm agitated, you know. And then he says, how do I get back? How do I get back to how I felt the day before? And in his question, there was that idea that he had somehow failed. He had had something good, and he lost it, and now he had something bad. And he wanted to know how to get back to the idea of something good. And of course, Muji. Now, Muji is clear. Like I said, Muji is the voice of Holy Spirit. So Muji did not fall for the idea that he had had something good, and now it was something bad. Muji said the same thing that Holy Spirit is saying here, although it was different words, but it was the exact same teaching. Muji asked him to recognize the space that both allowed those good feelings on one day and that allowed these more negative feelings or bad feelings on another day. And, you know, it was guiding him to turn his attention away from watching the form, which really feelings are form, and feelings come and go and they change, guiding him to switch from fixing his attention on the form to fixing his attention on the space that allowed both, that's always there and that is changeless, right? Now, let's look at what Holy Spirit is saying again in this message, right? As you rest within these states of mind, as within these states, right, these states of contentment, joy, peace, and gratitude, as you rest within these states, remain gently and happily aware of the mind. You can watch the mind and be at peace too, because you can watch the mind as you rest, accept, and trust that all is well. But notice Spirit is recognizing that, you know, at our level of maturity, at the time when this message was received, at our level of maturity, although it was important for us to learn to embrace states of contentment, Spirit also knew that these states of contentment would not last, that we would still lose them, right? And so Spirit goes on in saying, when a true upset comes upon you, right? And by that, I mean something that truly upsets you. Do not believe the thought that tells you that you have failed because you have lost your peace. In accepting your feelings of upset, your peace is anchored within. You see how he's also turning our attention to that peace that is there even as the upset is there? The peace that allows the upset? The peace that accepts the upset? The peace that is actually not upset by the upset? Right? He says, in accepting your feelings of upset, your peace is anchored within. Do not deny how you feel, and you are at peace, right? Do not try to change what is by resisting it, and peace is the consistent anchor within your mind. So spirit is not saying, well, you had something good, and now you've lost it for something bad. Spirit seems to be teaching, of course, the same as Muji. You know, at this particular level of our spiritual maturity, this is what happens. We have periods of peace, and we have periods of upset, but we're talking about at the emotional level. There is another peace, another spaciousness, a truth that is always present, even as these things change. And those of you who were here, here early enough to hear the prayer, you know that this was the gist of the prayer. In the prayer, we called it silence, but it was gratitude for silence, right? Silence that is there even in the noisiest of external situations, even in the noisiest of internal or mind situations where the mind is just really noisy. There's a silence that is there, the silence that allows all of that. And the prayer was gratitude for that silence. The teaching now is teaching us to begin to turn our attention to that silence, right? So Spirit isn't actually even trying to teach us to achieve some state of emotional consistency. He's teaching us to realize that we are good enough for peace and gratitude. You know, that when it comes upon us, we don't have to feel guilty and think, oh no, something's wrong, I shouldn't be feeling gratitude yet. We are allowed to feel gratitude. We are allowed to feel peace. We are allowed to feel contentment. We deserve that. But Spirit is not teaching us, and you better hold on to it, right? He's saying, and then when that passes, and another emotional state comes on, do not see yourself as having failed, right? Don't deny that these are the feelings that are present now, right? Don't resist the feelings that are present now, right? And peace is the consistent anchor that's in your mind, right? The silence is allowing the emotional upset. I'm going to move on to the next paragraph. If you watch carefully the thought of guilt, you will soon learn to laugh at the silliness of the idea. Is Ruby here? Ruby had a great laugh today when we were coming home from church. She said something, she started the conversation by, you know, one thing I've noticed is that, you know, you and Donna rest a lot. And she meant sleep rest. And I'm like, what do you mean? Okay, she's here, good. I'm like, what do you mean we sleep a lot? And you know, as we went on and talked about it, you know, what she noticed is that when we're tired, we go to bed. And then, you know, when we're ready, we wake up. And she commented that, you know, she likes to get up early in the morning. Don and I also get up early in the morning. That she likes to get up early in the morning. But at night, she doesn't go to bed when she's tired. And Don and I both do that. If we're tired, we go to bed. And I asked her, you know, well, why don't you go to bed when you're tired? You know, what thoughts are keeping you from going to bed when you're tired? I mean, if you know you're tired, why don't you go to bed? And she looked at that. It only took her a moment, and she started laughing. I mean, really laughing hard, because for the first time, she saw there was a thought of guilt in her mind. She didn't tell me what the specific thought was, so I don't know, but she identified it as a guilt thought. There was some thought that was telling her, even though she was tired, that if she was to go to bed now, you know, somehow she'd be guilty. I don't know what the thought was, but the point that I want to talk about here is when she saw it, she laughed. And I mean, she laughed. She laughed and laughed and laughed. And she thought it was so funny. She said that all of these years, that this thought had kept her from going to bed when she was tired. And as a result, she wasn't getting enough sleep, right? Well, notice what Spirit is saying here. If you watch carefully the thought of guilt, you will soon learn to laugh at the silliness of the idea, right? Laugh at the silliness of the idea of guilt. For the thought of guilt is only a belief that has no foundation. And so it continues to search for one. Anna, this is something I've noticed. I think Danielle has noticed this too, right? Yeah, Danielle's shaking her head. She's like, yeah, I know this one. That, you know, guilt will say you're guilty because why? Okay, I'm going to make something up. I didn't feel guilty, but I'm guilty because in the middle of my teaching, I stopped and had a conversation with my daughter. And that's not professional, right? If I'm supposed to be professional here, I don't know. But that's not professional. So now I'm guilty. If somehow you all talk to me and explain to me that I'm not guilty for that, okay? I'm not guilty for that. You know, you enjoyed that. It was fun listening to me and Jasmine together, whatever. And I finally am convinced I'm not guilty for that, but I still am holding on to the belief in guilt. We're just going to turn right around and I'm going to be guilty for something else. You know, it's like the guilt isn't really specific. You know, it isn't really specific. It's willing to make me guilty about anything. And if you talk me out of feeling guilty for one thing, it's just going to land on something else. It's kind of like fear. You know, fear tells you that you're afraid because of your financial situation, because of your relationship situation or whatever. And fear is telling you if you can fix that situation, if you can make it the way you need it to be, you won't be in fear anymore. But it's not true, because even if you fix that specific situation, just another thing pops up that you're afraid of. Guilt is the exact same way. I mean, you know, A Course in Miracles would just call these projections, right? The guilt, the belief in guilt is in the mind. The belief that I am this body-mind personality and therefore vulnerable and at risk is in the mind. And then I am looking outside of me, trying to find the cause of that. And even if I find a cause and I fix that particular cause, because the belief is still in the mind, it's just going to get projected onto another situation. So guilt goes out in search of something. And trust me, it'll find something. It'll find, my God, there are so many opportunities for us to appear guilty if we believe in guilt, right? So Holy Spirit says, if you watch carefully the thought of guilt, you will soon learn to laugh at the silliness of the idea. For the thought of guilt is only a belief that has no foundation, and so it continues to search for one. You see, it keeps searching for something to prove that you're guilty. When you are content and at peace, it will tell you are guilty for having that state of mind. That's where we started at the beginning of this message, right? I haven't worked hard enough to feel at peace yet. I don't deserve this yet. I'm not healed enough, right? So, when you are content and at peace, it will tell you that you are guilty for having that state of mind. When you have shifted into upset, the idea will come that you are now, you know, that you are guilty now for that. So, it's just going to find you guilty for everything. And this isn't a minor point to notice. In fact, I would say that when this noticing came about for me, where I really began to see with awareness, with a true seeing, when I really began to see that guilt was just making me guilty for anything, that was actually, you know, one of the realizations that led to the eventual letting go of that belief in guilt, right? Because I just began to start noticing little things about guilt, and I began to notice that it really didn't make sense. You know, it really didn't make sense. Guilt is not consistent. You know, if guilt was true, this is the way it came to me in my mind anyway. If guilt was true, there would be certain things that we are guilty for, and there would be other things that we are not guilty for, and those things would be consistent. They would be consistent. But I can tell you, even between, you know, Danielle and I, who live together in the same house, you know, she and I would not have a consistent list. You know, Danielle can think she's guilty for things that I never in my life thought I was guilty for that same thing, right? So there isn't a consistency about it. And somehow in seeing that there isn't a consistent law about what makes us guilty and what doesn't make us guilty, for me, that was a part of the unraveling of the belief in guilt, right? It began to not make sense. Oh, I'm looking. Donna has written in Ruby's thought, and it's kind of funny, actually, because it fits very well with this message. You know, this message was, I haven't worked hard enough to feel joy, contentment, peace, gratitude. Ruby's thought was, I haven't worked hard enough on myself to go to sleep. That was her thought. And so even though she was tired and it was time to go to sleep, she would not go to sleep. I haven't worked hard enough on myself to go to sleep. Funny that Ruby would see that this morning and see how ridiculous it was and laugh at it. And then tonight we're looking at this message. Isn't that kind of funny? I love the coincidences that the universe gives us. So a slightly different flavor of the same thought we're talking about tonight, right? I haven't worked hard enough to go to sleep. I haven't worked hard enough on myself to feel peace, joy, contentment, gratitude. See? See how ego is, right? So again, if you watch carefully the thought of guilt, you will soon learn to laugh at the silliness of the idea, like Ruby did today. For the thought of guilt is only a belief that has no foundation, and so it continues to search for one. When you are content and at peace, it will tell you that you are guilty for having that state of mind. So you're guilty for being content and at peace. You're guilty for going to bed, right? When you have shifted into upset, the idea will come that you are now guilty for that. Now, do you see how that is so inconsistent? How can you be guilty for being at peace and guilty for being upset? I mean, that just makes you always guilty, right? You know, Ruby was probably guilty for wanting to go to bed, and so she stayed up. But then who knows? Maybe there was a thought in her mind telling her she was guilty because she never got enough sleep, you know? Who knows? That's how ego works, you know? You're guilty if you believe in the belief in guilt. You feel that you're guilty, and some story will show up in your life, whether it's going to bed, whether it's, you know, how you clean the house, whether it's, you know, whatever. Yeah, guilty regardless. That's the ego. And again, for me, truly seeing that was a part of the unraveling in that belief, because before, the truth is, guilt made sense to me, right? I would only believe in it if it made sense to me. When Spirit was able to start showing me the craziness of the belief in guilt, when it started to cease making sense to me, it no longer had a logic that was truly logical, that's when it began to fall apart for me. It began to unravel. Okay, so the last paragraph of the message. Guilt is a shifting house built upon shifting sand. It has no foundation. But your truth is a rock, and it solidly supports you no matter where you go. Hold to your solid rock, and you will know peace, even as the emotions seem to experience upset. You see? So he's not saying that peace, he's not referring to emotional peace. Emotional peace may sometimes be there, but emotional peace may sometimes leave, and some type of upset moves in. He's using the word peace, but it's the same as the word Muji was using, space. It's the same as the word I was using in my prayer, silence. He's talking about that which allows all of this movement. And I saw, I think it was Wayne, use an example earlier on the board of the clouds and the sky, right? The sky allows the clouds. Someday there's a lot of clouds. Someday there's a few clouds. Someday there's no clouds. But what is consistent? The sky. Right? Regardless of how many clouds there are, the sky is consistent. We're referring to the sky here, whether we use the word peace, space, or silence. We're not referring to physical silence. We're not referring to emotional peace, right? We're not referring to those things of form. These are just words that we're using to label that which allows everything, right? And that's what we're here to become aware of. This is where we want to abide. as that which allows everything, which means we do not have to force out what we would call negative emotions, because forcing out negative emotions is not the same as allows everything. Do you understand? We want to be that which allows everything, just like the sky. The sky allows some horrendous storms, right? Lots of lightning and thunder and hail and tornadoes. The sky allows that. And then we want to become focused on that which allows instead of focused on the storm. That's what we're talking about here, not emotional peace. All right, so guilt is a shifting house built upon shifting sand. It has no foundation, but your truth is a rock, and it solidly supports you no matter where you go. Hold to your solid rock, and you will know peace, even as the emotions seem to experience upset. Rest in trust of who you are, and you give the gift that today you asked me to give. There we go. So, you know, we become Holy Spirit, right? We become Holy Spirit whenever we are focused on that self, that space, that awareness, whatever words you put to it. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is just go to the next message. If you're in this message with me, you just scroll up to the top. You'll see a message called Be in Gratitude, a little link. You can just click on that, and that will take you to the next message. It's very short. I'm going to give a link for those of you who have not been with us so that you can join us. This is the message, Be in Gratitude. All right, and let's look at this short little message. Sitting in quiet gratitude is a useful practice. You do not need to know consciously what you are feeling gratitude for. Just being in gratitude is being in gratitude for self, for truth, for reality. By the way, some of you may notice the punctuation is missing. At one time, some kind of a virus or something got in here and turned all of the punctuation into weird characters. And we just ran a program that took out all the weird characters. And as a result, any punctuation that had become weird was taken out. So we're just going to imagine the punctuation. I'm not going to go back and put the punctuation in all these messages. We've got other things to do. So here we go. Just being in gratitude is being in gratitude for self, for truth, for reality. Let gratitude rest on you, and you rest in gratitude. That's very interesting, don't you think? Let gratitude rest on you, and you rest in gratitude. That might be a sentence right there that if you're going into a 10-minute or 20-minute or 30-minute period of time where you want to learn to rest in gratitude, if you feel like this is something you can't do and you want to learn, that sentence might be worth taking on a piece of paper into that period of time and using to continually refocus yourself. You know, as your mind starts to get busy and you start to get away from what you're trying to practice for your 10 minutes or whatever, just open your eyes again and look at this. And you can't intellectually understand it. You know, sometimes sentences that you can't intellectually understand are actually the most helpful. So you can't intellectually understand this, so don't even try. Try more to feel it or just be it, you know. Even if it only lasts for a few seconds, it's worth it. Here's the sentence again. Let gratitude rest on you, and you rest in gratitude. Take that sentence with you into your practice and read it over and over again. Every time you feel like you've drifted away from your practice, read that sentence to center yourself in again to the practice. Let gratitude rest on you, and you rest in gratitude. Simply be with it. Conjure up no specific images. Think of nothing you are grateful for. Do not even think that you are being grateful for self. right? Do not even think that you are being grateful for self, for the thinking mind only conjures up images of reality, and images are less than is. So he is asking you just to be grateful, period. You know, lots of people will try to learn gratitude by being, you know, grateful for my daughter, grateful for my house, grateful for my dog, grateful for my blah, 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 blah. You have to understand, you know, there is a flip side to that, in that all of those things can change. And so if you have, that's like literally building your house on shifting sands. If you have, you know, become gratitude for specific things, and then those specific things change, you're kind of left hanging there. You experience a loss, like we talked about last night. You experience a death, right? So we don't want to be focused on form, nor do we want to be focused on our imagination about what God is. This is something we talked about in Friday's teaching, Lynn and I. Imagining what God is, imagining what self is, imagining what enlightenment is, you know, conjuring up these intellectual ideas. We don't want to have gratitude for that either. So we are just moving into a space of gratitude without projecting that gratitude onto anything or any concept. And this is a great practice, right? This is a great practice. So again, you can take that sentence, let gratitude rest on you, and you rest in gratitude, right? Take that sentence and let go of any thought of what you are grateful for, and just practice being in that state. Just practice being in that state, right? Spirit continues, when you are grateful without needing something to be grateful for, you are appreciating all that is as it is, simply because it is. You know, what I'm noticing now is the word is. You know, in the paragraph before, the last sentence, the last word, is, right? The last sentence was, for the thinking mind only conjures up images of reality, and images of are less than is, right? Is. That's the word that's being put on truth, you know, is. The thinking mind only conjures up images of reality, and images are less than is. And now in the second paragraph, he says, when you are grateful without needing something to be grateful for, you are appreciating all that is as it is, simply because it is. And then he says, this is the highest of all forms of gratitude. So it really is a formlessness, something we could not define, explain, point out, distinguish from anything else, right? He continues, enjoy gratitude today and be at peace whenever you notice you are grateful. You are being in touch with yourself and loving yourself for the self that is. There's that word again. And that's the last of the messages that we received during the first visa-required separation in our relationship. So as I mentioned, next week when I come back, the message I will begin to read is a message that came while Laurent and I were together again in North Carolina. By the way, today is Carolyn Overby's birthday. Some of you might, some of you might remember Carolyn. Wayne, I think you probably remember Carolyn. Dove, you might remember Carolyn. She hasn't been she's around, but she's not around where you all see her. She's kind of in the background. So some of you may not know her. But today's her birthday. And these messages that are about to come next, this next series of messages, the truth is Laurent and Carolyn and I were all together at that time. Carolyn and Laurent both came to our house for Christmas that year, and the next set of messages that came really came for all three of us. So we will be looking at those messages next. I have 4 minutes left, so we'll listen to another song from Jody's CD. I've been listening to it little by little. Let's see. How about Fearless? I don't know what that is. It's number 10 on this CD, so we'll check out Fearless on her newest CD. And then when it gets to be 6, if the song is not done, I will just kind of turn it down, stop, and let go of the mic, because I believe Liz Cronkite is next. And I think that's pretty exciting, and I would not want to steal a second of her time. Although I have to go cook and I can't listen, I still want you all to be able to listen. So here's Jody Ebeling, Fearless. I like that beginning. I've heard this somewhere before, right? Sounds familiar. I think it's like a classical song at the beginning that I've heard.
Let me be fearless. Follow my heart.
Tune is recognizable.
Let me be fearless. God, tell me where to start. Let me go past all limits and fear to fly high. Let me know angels always hover, oh, so nearby. Let me be fearless, stand strong in the rain. Let me be fearless, let go all pain. I will step back and let God lead the way. Then I'll know exactly what to do and to say. Knowing the gifts I give my brother are my own. Trusting God, I realize I am never alone. I find the deepest peace that I have ever known. When the Holy Spirit asks for my willingness, I'll say,
it is 6 o'clock, so as I said, I'm going to let go of the mic. Liz said she thinks this is Debussy's something, maybe Claire de Lune. All right, so I'm going to let go of the mic. Jasmine says I can listen on her laptop while cooking, so Liz, I may catch a little bit of you as I'm running around the kitchen. Everybody have a great evening, and be the love, baby. Bye.